Yo, yo. What's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode. Hold on, let me see if I'm broadcasting on the right thing. Hold on. Let me see if I'm broadcasting on the right thing. Let me see if I'm on the right thing. There we go. I'm on the right thing. All right, what's going on, man? We're here. We're live right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ready to chop up some games. I'm about to say, these aren't my beats, by the way. I like it. It sounds real Casio-ish. It's not my beats, but I like it. It's catchy. Act like niggas don't be rapping to this on the radio now. Good. You licking hot. I want to give you everything I got. Girl, you straight. Cute in the face. Big booty. Slim waist. You hot. You ain't a fat. I want to take you to my mama's spot. Yeah. Y'all know shit like this here on the radio right now. Yeah. Gonna do that thing for the ladies in the left. And do that thing for the ladies in the right. Let's go to Chick-fil-A. Girl, you know I don't play. Gonna take you drinking some lean. Put clothes in the washing machine. Man, we're gonna chop up some good game on today's show. I'm back, man. I'm back in the United States, out of the country for a week. Had a great time out of the country, by the way. But I'm here. We're ready to chop that thing up. So what we're going to do, family, we're going to take that quick commercial break. Y'all don't move a muscle. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Yo, check out a brand new EP album called The Workforce Struggle EP. That's by a producer named Professor Archibald. Now, he does beats for aspiring artists, and you can get beats from him by simply DMing him on Twitter at ArchieProfess, or you can email him. Also, check out his whole album called The Workforce Struggle. You can get it on Apple, you can get it on Tidal, you can get it on Spotify, and you can get it on Amazon. So that is The Workforce Struggle EP. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I ain't gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back. We're back. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have you guys back in tune. We're live. I was out of the country. Couldn't go live and do my show like I wanted to while I was in Jamaica. Shout out to everybody in Jamaica. Had a great time in Jamaica. Much love and much respect to everybody. The vibe was incredible. There was a lot of love shown, a lot of respect shown, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Somebody saying there was a shooting in New Zealand at a mosque. I'm reading some of the comments in the room. There's always news going on. There's always stuff going on in real time. So I'm going to look into that while we're doing the live broadcast right now. Yeah, Jamaica has Wi-Fi, but the Wi-Fi is a little janky. You know, anytime you go out of the country, the Wi-Fi is a little funny style, especially at my hotel. And plus, just going around the island, you know, the Wi-Fi and the internet would go in and out. And, you know, I was trying to do live streams, even on my phone, it was going in and out. So there were issues. So I really couldn't get down like I wanted to. So there was a couple of mass shootings from what I understand. It was a school shooting down in Brazil. And now I'm hearing about some type of shooting that was in New Zealand. So I'm going to start looking up this stuff as I talk to you guys. But a lot of stuff we're going to cover on today's broadcast. First things first, they're still going around talking about Cory Booker is dating Rosario Dawson, the actress. And that's a PR move. They've been promoting that heavy. Rosario's name was trending. Cory Booker's name was trending. And when it comes to politics, the thing is they don't like to run single or bachelor politicians because that makes them look unstable. And politicians who may or may not, and I'm not saying anything, I'm just giving an analogy. Some people who may or may not be in the closet, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you how politics work. They like to run people who seem like they are family oriented so that people will feel secure in supporting them. But how many of y'all are buying this BS? I mean, it don't even look right. It don't even look right on paper. It doesn't even look right on paper yet. I'm looking, by the way, I'm looking at on Twitter, it's trending. There was a shooting at a mosque. I'm trying to see how many people were killed. Multiple fatalities. Yes, clearly some white supremacists did this. So this thing is real out here, man. It's the second mosque shooting in New Zealand. Very interesting. Yeah, these white supremacists are desperate, man. It was a shooting at two mosques. Wow. Okay, I'm gonna give more reports as it goes along. But like I said, this whole thing with Cory Booker and Rosario Dawson, it's so manufactured. Nobody's really buying it. You know, they're putting him together with a Hollywood actress to kind of give him some kind of finesse, some kind of swag. And it's just nobody's really buying it. That's why you don't see any pictures of them together. And the pictures of them where they are in the same picture, it's a bunch of other people around, and they're not all booed up or anything. They're not looking like a couple. I've seen about three or four pictures of them out, but it's other people with them, and they're never standing together. It looks like Rosario is just hanging out with some of her gay friends, and he's in the crowd. I mean, it's so contrived and manufactured, and nobody's buying it. People are saying that she's his beard, and she put out a statement confirming, quote unquote, that she's dating him and that he's a wonderful person. I mean, it's so fake sounding. And like I said, dudes who are really dating women, you don't make press announcements. You see them out and about. You see them booed up. You see them in a situation where they are dating. You just see them dating each other. They can't show that with Rosario and Corey because they know the chemistry would look off. They know the chemistry of them together would look so fake and off, they don't even attempt it. So they put out these press releases. You dig? They know good and well having them booed up would look crazy off. Yeah, men don't do that. But men don't sit out here putting out statements talking about they dating a woman. Unless there's something else going on. You dig? And by the way, hold on. I think we do have a statement from Corey. Hold on. Let me play. Corey has an official statement he put out about their dating. This is Corey Booker right here. Hold on.
Today, I can stand in front of you guys and say I finally touched my first female. I finally touched a first female. And when I say, it felt good. Ooh, like the camel noodle soup. Good. So I wanted to say to you guys, thank you guys, and stay. You what you got?
Okay. All right, Corey. Thank you, brother. Corey said that thing is good. All right, Corey. Hit it for the players, my nigga. Okay. Anyway. Oh, what else is going on here, man? What else is happening out here in these streets? Look, the Congressional Butterbiscuit Caucus, they're out here campaigning for immigrants and all these other groups real heavy. The Democrats are totally confused. This every week, somebody's coming out talking about they're running. Oh, my God. Beto, whatever his name is, he's announced that he's running. I mean, just candidate after candidate, they're so confused. They don't know what to do. Because they see that black folks, we foundational black Americans are just not falling for the banana in the tailpipe with these folks no more. They see that we're not falling for that no more. So they're scrambling, trying to figure out what to do. They're trying to really double down on the immigration thing. Let me say, look, the Congressional Butterbiscuit Caucus, they are just completely useless to black society. Let's just keep it 100. Let's just keep it 100. These Negroes, these are just plantation puppets. Their existence is to be the Butter Biscuit Brigade for white supremacy. Can you tell me when the last damn time the Congressional Black Caucus did anything for black people as a group? And I'm being serious. Anybody in the chat room, please tell me the last time the Congressional Black Caucus, Butter Biscuit Caucus, did anything for black people as a group. I mean, they do everything in their power to undermine black people as a group and use our struggle to empower and uplift every other damn group. They don't do nothing for us, man. And that's another thing. We're going to have to start cleaning house. All these Butter Biscuit Brigade organizations, these Boulay run organizations, they gotta go. We have to discredit them. We have to shut them down for acting as the leaders of black society because they are not. The Butter Biscuit Caucus, they have to go. They are just completely delegitimized at this point. We are no longer going to have these people pretending that they represent us because they do not. They represent white supremacy. They are their paid minions. I'm sick and tired of these Negroes sitting up here caping for all these other damn groups. And they're the ones, the minute we start talking about getting some reparations, these are the Negroes who are talking us down. They are the ones trying to undermine us for getting them. They have to go. They have to go. We have to delegitimize them and let them know and let people know publicly and speak publicly that they do not represent us because they don't. Because the thing is, you got all types, all these other immigrant groups and gay and LGBT groups. Every week, these politicians are coming up with policies for them. They're coming up with policies for them. No, the LGBT community, they don't have to go out here and twist their arm and beg these people to get policies for them. They're coming out with policies specifically for them and immigrants and Hispanics and all these people every other week. And the minute we start talking about reparations, everybody's twiddling their thumbs and I don't know where the money is. Let me tell you something. All other groups who are victimized, they magically come up with resources to give them. Right now, this week, they just announced that those people who were shot at that Sandy Hook shooting some years back, they just gave a green light where they can sue the gun manufacturer. So they gave them the green light and the pathway to go after the people who made the damn guns, because these were white people who got shot. So they opened them doors for them. See, with all these other groups, if they're victimized, boy, the resources just come pouring in. But when we start talking about what we're supposed to get as reparations for slavery, Jim Crow, and the current white supremacist status quo, everybody wants to play dumb and start talking all of this black and Hispanic garbage. And that's another thing. These people are seriously trying to crowbar Latinos and Hispanics in the reparations conversation. They're trying desperately to squeeze them in the conversation, and it makes no sense. And by the way, there was a treaty after the Mexican-American War, I think, where some of the Mexicans did get forms of payment from the treaty with the conflict that they had with the U.S. So they have no historic basis for them to get any kind of reparations payments. But they're trying to desperately crowbar it in with us. And this is why black people, I really, 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 really want us, we got to stop using the term black and Hispanic, black and Latino, black and brown. We really got to stop using that term, or those terms, family. Why do black people like using those terms? See, black people historically like using those terms because they know that blackness by itself is offensive. Just your presence, your existence is offensive to white supremacy. So we have this innate, humble, afraid, terrified thing where we have to dilute our blackness. So the white supremacists understand this, so they've given us the Hispanics as a fake comparative struggle group where we can dilute our blackness by mentioning them every time anything comes up about us. Well, black and brown, well, black and Latino, well, us black and Latino. Ain't no us black and damn Latino. And that's not, I'm not disrespecting any group, but there is no black and Latino. That's an empty-ass term that scared black folks use. You use it because you're afraid to offend white people with your blackness. Stop that. It's that, yeah, we in this together talk. No, we're not. It's that we're trying to be accepted by all these different groups. And the thing is, the dominant society, they like using it because they know that they can use Latino as a deflection. When they see us struggling and we start talking about black and Latino, they have no problem helping out Latinos because most of them are classified as white. So they're acceptable. So you undermine yourself when you keep using that term black and Latino. I really wish we understood the damage that term uses, the damage that term does for us. And it gets to the point where people in the Latino community, they crowbar themselves in all of our conversations, but we can't get in theirs. They don't talk about black and Latino when they're behind closed doors with their group. When they go to the table to get resources, they never, ever, 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 ever use black and Latino when the resources are coming. When the resources are coming, it ain't black and Latino when they go behind closed doors and get their people to negotiate at the table. We do that all the time and we shoot ourselves in the foot. We have to make a habit, a conscious effort to stop using the term black and Latino. And anybody who uses that term, you have to check them. Do not ever use that term again. Black, Hispanic, black, Latino. Don't ever, 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 ever use that term again. Because the thing is, when black folks start trying to get something. This is why when we're talking about reparations, notice how they keep trying to crowbar Latinos in the damn conversation. Because they understand the racial pyramid, the racial hierarchy, and black folks are supposed to be on the bottom of that. So when we start talking about moving from the bottom, the Latino community, they assume, okay, well, we're automatically going to get moved a peg up over them somehow, so we need to get in this conversation. Because if black folks are talking about getting from the bottom, we need to talk about getting a peg up on top of them. And we got to stop letting people do that. We got to stop letting people piggyback off of us. Now, Jane Elliott, she's a woman. She does a lot of these anti-racism seminars. And you guys are familiar with Jane Elliott. She's been on Oprah. She's been on a lot of shows. And one of her old seminars where she was in a room full of different people from different races. And a lot of folks didn't catch this, but I put this on my Twitter. There's some white girl in there having a temper tantrum because what she does, she reverses everything on the people. She gives black people in the classroom. And this is like a thing that she does for an hour. She does this thing for like an hour. And most white folks can't stand the thought of being discriminated against for one damn hour. So usually white people in there crying. So this white girl, she's getting up throwing a temper tantrum. Oh, God, this is so unfair. This is unfair. So Jane was like, you know, the white girl left and she came back and Jane was like, no, that's not how racism works. See, black folks can't leave and come back. No, it don't work like that. When they get upset, they can go somewhere and hide. No. So what you're going to do, you're going to apologize to every black person in here. And then somebody in the back, and Latino, I want y'all to listen to this. I want y'all to listen to this. Now, this thing has been around for a long time, but listen to this.
I just walk out. Because there's no place in this country where they aren't going to be exposed to racism. They can't even stay in their own homes and not be exposed to racism if they turn on the television. But you, as a white female, when you get tired of being judged and treated unfairly on the basis of your eye color, you can walk out that door. And you know it won't happen out there. You exercise the freedom they don't have. If you're going to be in here, you're going to apologize to every black person in this room. And do it now.
I'm sorry.
The Latinos, every
There's
person of
racism.
Color.
Yeah, you see, yeah, I saw that. And somebody in the back, and the Latinos. And then Jane, oh, yeah, and Latinos, and every person of color. Then they started, you see that? You see, boy, they make it a point to interject themselves into any time we get the spotlight or any time we get special attention, automatically they crowbar themselves into it.
And stay in their own homes and not be exposed to racism.
Let's
if they
do it
turn
again.
On the television. But you, as a white female, when you get tired of being judged and treated unfairly on the basis of your eye color, you can walk out that door. And you know it won't happen out there. You exercise the freedom they don't have. If you're going to be in here, you're going to apologize to every black person in this room. And do it now.
And the Latinos.
Every person of color.
Racism, this country.
Bullshit! No, you're not going to say, I'm sorry, there's racism.
They start going off on them. Yeah. Okay, but yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. So that's the thing. Anytime we start talking about or somebody mentions us specifically, people have to crowbar themselves into the conversation. Because again, the Latino Hispanic groups, they expect to automatically be elevated whenever black people get any kind of progress or the thought of black people getting progress. They want to be elevated automatically. And also, let's be real, a lot of these thirsty Negroes are the problem too, because thirsty Negroes be wanting Latina draw so much. They be wanting Latina cooch. They get to buck dancing around Latina chicks and giving them all types of passes, letting them say all types of things. There's a video circulating around this rapper. Is it Murda Mook? I don't know too much about Murda Mook, but there's this white girl. Her name is Yes Jules. She's a white girl with a big ass. And, you know, she hangs around the urban crowd. And she's always saying some little slick shit about black folks. And people keep giving her a pass because she's a white girl with a big ass. And that's Negro kryptonite. That's Negro kryptonite. A white chick with a big ass. She can come in and just do anything to a Negro. And there's a video circulating where this murder mook dude is just laughing, and everything she's saying, he's about to fall out. He's, oh damn, you know, he's bucking his eyes, and he's like, no, she can say nigga. She, what are you? I'm an Italian and Puerto Rico. See, she black, though. She black, yo. You know, thirsty Negroes. Thirsty-ass Negroes who are desperate for exotic cooch with your low self-esteem asses. Y'all give these folks a pass, too. That's why I don't like folks going around yelling nigga, saying the N-word. I don't like all these other groups doing that. Folks got to stop giving them a pass doing that. Because, see, we have to put the definition of what that means. Nigga means victim of white supremacy. See, black folks lie to themselves talking about it means ignorant. It doesn't mean ignorant. The word nigga has never meant ignorant. It means victim of white supremacy. That's what it is. When you call somebody a nigga, you're calling them a victim of white supremacy. And when another group of people are calling you that, all they're doing is victimizing you and acknowledging that they're victimizing you. And you have to look at it from that perspective. But we got to stop letting them. Every time they put out these studies, they always talk about, well, black and Hispanics are disproportionately targeted. And that's just not true. They always put out these studies talking about how blacks and Hispanics are disproportionately targeted for certain things. Now understand, Hispanics are only in certain states, you know, like Florida, like in New York, California, Texas, New Mexico. So they're not spread out like that. But when they start talking about how, I saw a study, they were talking about how black and Hispanic drivers are targeted more. And I'm telling y'all, that's a crock of BS. Because how do you identify a Hispanic person? Think about that. See, they put out these studies. They put out these so-called studies and start talking about black and Hispanic face certain discrimination or whatever. But how in the hell do you identify a Hispanic person? You can identify a black person based on content of melanin and hair texture. Those are the main identifying features of black people. Skin color and hair texture. So how do you identify a Hispanic? Because Hispanic is not a race. And most Hispanics here classified as white, so they have pale skin like Anglo-white people, and they have the stringy hair, and some of them have the aquiline nose, like some of the Anglos. So how do you identify and profile a person to see if they're Hispanic? Unless it's like somebody, unless they got on a sombrero or they look like a day laborer, that's the only way, I would assume. I'm thinking they would have to have on a certain type of outfit for you to identify them. How would you just look at a person and just tell that they are Hispanic in order to discriminate or target them by profiling them? In most cases, you cannot. In most cases, you can't. Just like with Native Americans, when people try to lie, that's another thing. They always try to say, well, Native Americans are targeted. You can't identify a Native American based on their physical characteristics. Not Native Americans today, because most of them are mixed with white or just full out white. So there are no identifying characteristics to let you know that that person is a Native American. Somebody said because they drive a Cutlass. No, looking at their cars. Yeah, it would have to be some type of outside cultural thing. You dig? But as far as physical characteristics, you can't identify them like that. And don't let folks run that game on you. See, we can be identified no matter what we're wearing, what we're driving. We can be identified. Your melanin is your uniform, as our brother Neely Fuller says. So let's stop being afraid to be black exclusive ain't no black and Latino, ain't no black and Hispanic coalition. Down there in Colombia this week, there was a black dude. He went into a neighborhood and a bunch of the white Colombians whooped his ass for nothing. They beat his ass on video. Just the whole neighborhood beat this brother up. Black folks in these Hispanic countries are treated like garbage. They are treated like trash. So there's no black and Latino, black and Hispanic, nothing. Let's stop saying that. We say that out of fear. The only reason black folks say it is out of fear. We got to cut that fear out. You dig? Now, while I was out of town, let's go to some other topics here. When I was out of town, and you know the whole stuff with the Michael Jackson thing that's still going on. They're still trying to milk that failure documentary that came out. That documentary, Leaving Neverland, it failed, it flopped. But they spent a lot of money in this thing. They put a lot of stock into it. They really hyped it up because the name of the game is to sound like they're really trying to get access to the Jackson estate. They're trying to rob and rape that estate. So they were trying to do some character assassination in order to get in there good. And that documentary completely backfired. And some very interesting things. When I was out the country, some people were trying to get in touch with me. A partner of mine, an old friend of mine named Ron Newt, old street hustler, old school street dude from the Bay, been knowing Ron for years. I haven't talked to him in a minute. But my man Ron was trying to get in touch with me. We have a mutual guy that we know, Gooch. Shout out to Gooch. Shout out to Inglewood Gooch. My man Gooch was trying to contact me. And other people, I think Ron might have tried to go to some of my other friends who know both of us, because I kept getting phone calls. And for some reason, when I would answer the phone, I couldn't hear nothing on the other end. So it gets janky like that when you go out of the country. When you go out of the country, I don't know what it is. The phone lines are real janky, but I was getting calls and I just couldn't communicate like I wanted to. Now, Ron Newt was trying to get in touch with me. Now, Ron Newt, let me give you some background on him. Old school street dude from the Bay, stomped down gangster hustler pimp, big time, true to the game dude. And his sons were singers. They were a group called the Neutrons. And back in the, I want to say in the early 90s, back in the day, it might have been the early 90s, late 90s, whatever. But his sons, the Neutrons, were signed to Michael Jackson's label. His sons were signed to Michael Jackson's label. And when the whole scandal started coming out about molestation and all this, Ron Newt was offered, that's the dad, he was offered money from the Inquirer, according to him. He said the National Inquirer offered him $200,000 to say that Michael Jackson touched his sons. And he was like, hell no, I'm not doing that, because that didn't happen. You know, so Mike, you know, was trying to get, they were trying to set Mike up for a long time. And Ron was, he was looking out for Mike, because Ron was a street dude. Ron made millions of dollars in the street, so that little money they were throwing at him wasn't nothing. Ron had made a million or millions of dollars in the streets back in the day. So that wasn't nothing. But, you know, Ron did an interview with Vlad a couple of years ago, DJ Vlad. And, you know, Ron also filed a billion-dollar lawsuit against Fox and Lee Daniels and all them, because he said that the Empire story took the storyline from his life. So there was a big thing about that. But, and I've been meaning to have Ron on Ism Radio for a long time. I've been meaning to do it. I kept putting it off. I kept waiting for him to come down to the Bay. I mean, come down from the Bay to L.A. So anyway, Ron was coming down to L.A. He planned on coming to L.A. this week. Ron planned on coming down to L.A. this week, and he'd scheduled to do an interview with Vlad. He was going to do an interview with Vlad. And again, Vlad was really one of the only big platforms that would give him a voice, and me. And this is why Ron was trying to reach out to me, because he knew I had a big platform too. So he was desperately trying to get in touch with me this week. Since Saturday, my man Gooch hit me up, and by the time I got on the plane, when did I get back? I got back yesterday. So when I'm on my way back, and I see that people are trying to get in touch with me. And according to our mutual friend, listen, this is heavy. Our friend Gooch, and I should have had Gooch call up, but it's just the timing right now. Because Gooch talks with Ron all the time. So Ron had a lot of information he wanted to give me personally. Ron really wanted to get some information to me personally. Gooch said, Ron, hit him up Saturday, hit him up Sunday, hit him up Monday, trying to get in touch with me. Because he was really, really, really wanting to give some information to me. And according to my man Gooch, he didn't fully trust Vlad. I think his street instincts kicked in or whatever, but this is what they're telling me. He really didn't fully trust Vlad. But again, Vlad was the only one giving him a big platform outside of me. I was going to give it to him. So he wanted to holler. He wanted to talk to me and give me some information. And one of the things he wanted to let me know, yeah, I'm going to just put that, hey, that's what it is. That's what it is. No shade. I ain't shade. No, I'm just telling you the message that was relayed to me. All right, this ain't shade nobody. I ain't shading Vlad. This is what the information was relayed to me. And what Ron wanted to tell me, one of the things was that recently, some people connected to Oprah offered him more money to lie on Michael Jackson. This is what's going on. And this is believable because the same thing happened to Aaron Carter. Remember Aaron Carter, the singer? And let me play something while I'm talking. Let me play something from Aaron Carter. He was on TMZ a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, Aaron Carter. And Aaron Carter hung out with Michael Jackson. He knows Wade Robson and all those guys in the documentary. And Aaron Carter is like, you know, fuck Wade. Wade is on some bullshit. Aaron said, look, I hung with Michael Jackson. And Aaron Carter said they offered him six figures to be in the damn documentary. Now, listen, I'm going to give receipts. Listen, this is Aaron Carter. He's a white boy. He's a singer. What group was Aaron Carter in? What group was Aaron Carter in, guys? Yeah, Aaron threatened to whoop Wade's ass because of Wade's deception. But listen to this. This is Aaron Carter a few weeks ago talking about the Neverland documentary.
Possible that what they're saying could have happened.
Not based upon my experience, because me staying with Michael Jackson, I hung out with Michael Jackson. I stayed at his house. I stayed in his bedroom.
How old were you?
I was 15.
Well, the filmmaker says that they were not paid for leaving Neverland. They had filed lawsuits.
Wade had filed a lawsuit. You don't think that for the interviews that they're doing, they're not getting paid? Because yeah. I've been offered six figures already for an interview, and I turned them all down. I told them to go fuck themselves.
Boom, like, boom.
Wade, I'm very disappointed in, because I don't understand. And then you're putting in.
Okay. That's all I'm gonna play it at. But okay, but you see, so look, they're throwing money at folks to lie. Okay, I'm just showing you receipts. See, he was in 98 Degrees. His brother was Nick Carter from NSYNC. Okay, there you go. Okay, Backstreet Boys. It's something, I don't know, one of those. But I'm showing you that people are being offered money to lie. Alright? People are being offered money to lie. And my man Ron Newt was telling my partner, that's why they were trying to get in touch with me. They were saying that some people connected. This is what they're telling me. This is how they told me. Some people connected to Oprah. I don't know if it was her or her. Connected to Oprah. This is what they told me. Was offering Ron money to lie on Michael Jackson. So again, they're trying to get in touch with me to let me know this, but I'm out the country. And I'm getting ready to come back. I came back yesterday. But before I came back, they found Ron Newt dead at his home on Tuesday. Ron Newt was found dead at his home up there in the bay on Tuesday. We still don't know the cause of death. And I don't know if everything is tied in. It's just, it's a hell of a coincidence. This is a hell of a coincidence. Ron Newt was found dead. They said they came home and he was dead. And right now, days, we don't know what the cause of death was. We don't know nothing. But it sounds real weird and it sounds real fishy. You dig? So, when I get more information, I'm going to relay it, but go back and listen to that broadcast where I talked about the Michael Jackson show and Oprah and the people she was connected with that were behind this documentary. And my man Ron kept receipts. That's one thing about Ron. Ron kept damn receipts. This dude would have check stubs from Joe Jackson, check stubs to Johnny Cochran. He would keep all his receipts. You dig? So I'm just saying, that seems real weird and real funny style. You dig? But, you know, people are looking at Oprah funny style anyway. People are looking at her real crazy just because of her involvement in this whole thing and her seeming to protect some of those weirdos that she's around. You understand? But go back and listen to that broadcast where I talk about Michael Jackson. There's some real heavy stuff. And a lot of stuff about Hollywood is coming out. Y'all saw that school scandal where all these Hollywood actresses and actors and other rich white people were paying these Ivy League schools to float their dumbass kids through. They were giving schools $500,000 or whatever to give their kids degrees. Which we knew. We knew that some of these dumbass kids out here, are not even kids, adults, the offspring of these people were being floated through. And what I don't like, they're trying to act like their children weren't in on the scam. They were talking about the children didn't know. The hell they didn't know. Those children of these rich white people, they are 100% in on the scam. They know good and damn well they do not know no damn constitutional law. They know what they studied for and what they didn't study for. These people know good and well they don't deserve them damn PhDs, them fake ass degrees they have. They were fully in on it. They brag about who they mom and dad knows. My dad's a lawyer, dude. My mom knows the dean, dude. They brag about that. You dig? And that's why black folks, again, stop letting the white supremacists mess your self-esteem up. They got you out here burning the midnight oil, working your fingers to the bone to try to keep up with them because you think that they work hard. They don't. White supremacy is all about floating through life and getting privileges and unearned benefits. Man, they live for unearned benefits while they sit up and tell you to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. The minute you go get a degree somewhere, every time a black person gets high SAT scores or whatever, they're doing an investigation like, how did this Negro do it? They're questioning you and then accusing you of being an affirmative action hire. That's them projecting onto you. White supremacy is the world's biggest affirmative action program ever. They can't do nothing without systematic white supremacy helping them. Don't let these people mess your self-esteem up. I really wish black folks get off that. That's why there's so much mommy and zaddy worship. Black folks believe everything these people tell them. They are innately insecure. That's why they need a system to elevate them. They wallow in mayonnaise mediocrity. They're very mediocre, the white supremacists. You understand? Well, y'all stop going for that. And again, this is why we got to stop being afraid to stand up on ours. And we got to stop being afraid to stand up for ours because we're so afraid of offending these people. we got to understand, as individuals, they're weak. The only thing that strengthens them is a system. It's a bunch of weak people who got together and got on code, and that's where their strength is. Their strength is in their code and in their system. That's why they don't like any chinks in that armor. That's why they will never create a system of equality for you. They're never going to create that. You have to take that. You have to step up and say, look, we're going to get on code and we're going to take our equal share. They're just not going to give it to you. I wish black folks stopped trying to let the white supremacists know how unfair life is and how bad you've been treated. We waste a lot of time trying to explain to them how bad we've been treated, and they sit up here and act like they don't know and they play dumb and they're the ones who created the system. They're not dumb or naive about the system whatsoever. This is why they always use this trick bag term, these trick bag terms when it comes to you. That's why they always use that lift all boats rhetoric. And we got to stop that too. Black folks, stop going for the lift all boats rhetoric. The minute we start talking about doing something for us, and then they start talking about what they're going to do for all people, we have to take that as an insult, because it's an insult. It's them disrespecting you. When they start talking about lifting all groups in relations to helping you, that is an insult. We have to be offended when they say that. That's them playing stupid. And it's the stick analogy. And I used this on Instagram the other day. I want y'all to understand the stick analogy. When they start talking all of these lift programs, that's that Kamala Harris was talking all that lift program. Forget all that. No damn lift. We want something specific for us. If it's not specific for us, we don't want it. We got to stop being so desperate. When that Andrew Yang guy went on the Breakfast Club talking about, yeah, black people are disproportionately targeted and black wealth is disproportionately targeted, and his solution is to give everybody $1,000 a month, and then black folks can use that, and that's going to help black folks. Do you know what crock of BS that is? And then Negroes sitting up here, man, that sounds pretty good to me. Man, something better than nothing. We got to stop being the something's better than nothing people. We got to take garbage and trash. No. Get the hell out of here. That ain't no damn reparations. We're talking about what's already owed to us. We're owed a debt because of the free labor that our people put down, and that the detriment of the maldistribution of that labor has been passed to us. And it keeps getting passed down generation to generation. That poverty gets passed down, whereas wealth gets passed down to the dominant white society. So the thing is, we have to look at it from a stick analogy perspective. Now, just imagine this. There's five different people beating you with sticks. You have a white person beating you with a stick. You have an Asian person beating you with a stick. You have a Hispanic person beating you with a stick. You have a Native American person beating you with a stick. And you have a Middle Eastern person beating you with a stick. They're beating you with a stick as a black person because you have no stick. You don't have a stick. So you have nothing to defend yourself. So you can't fight back, nor can you defend yourself. And then you go to the government and say, damn, hey, look, government, these five people are beating me with these five sticks and I can't defend myself and I can't fight back. I'm getting beaten to a pulp. I've been beating me for centuries. Can you help me? And the government says, okay, I'll help you. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give all of you a stick. I'm going to give you a stick, and I'm going to give everybody else a stick. You're like, oh, cool. That'll work. I mean, hell, something's better than nothing. So now they've given all of you a stick. So you have one stick, and everybody else, they have two sticks. Now they're beating you with 10 sticks, and you only got one, and you still getting beat to a bloody pulp. You don't know what to do. you're still getting beaten. You're still getting the brunt of all the beatings because you can barely, you can't do anything with one stick, one against 10. Everybody has two sticks against your one. So everybody's still at an advantage and they're beating the brakes off you. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is what those lift programs are. All they do is give people extra sticks to oppress you because that's what people do with their resources. People weaponize their resources against you, family. The reason why we're in the situation we're in is because they've weaponized their resources. They use their resources to gain an advantage. They use resources to come into the communities and build businesses where they can smack you around and disrespect you and you have to still keep coming to them. They use resources to pay their dumbass kids way in school and float them through, and their kids got all these fake degrees getting all types of corporate jobs, and you got to sell your ass on the side in order to make it through a community college. They weaponize resources, and giving them more weapons, which is more resources to use against you, that doesn't help you. That's why you got to stop all that lift all garbage. We should never, ever, ever co-sign that lift all garbage. We're going to have to stop being afraid to say we need something specific for us or we're not going to support these candidates. We will let you guys implode on each other. You dig? It's done all by design. And again, another thing we do, we don't let them come around us talking all that diversity. We all Americans, let's all get together. They only do that around us. We're the only people they do that to. We got to stop falling for that because they know that black folks are desperate for acceptance because your self-esteem is low. It shouldn't be. I want black folks to get off this low self-esteem too because we believe everything white mommy and white daddy tells us. And they were exposing Tucker Carlson's little racist self. They found some old audio clips of him doing interviews, just going full out racist. And Tucker said something very interesting. And I've seen other white supremacists say this and other white supremacist suspects. He was on this guy, Bubba the Love Sponge radio show. And Tucker said something about, yeah, white men created civilization. Have y'all heard that phrase before? I've heard Joe Rogan say that too. Yeah, white people, yeah, we created civilization. That politician Steve King, I think he said that. Yeah, white people, yeah, we done a lot. We created civilization. And Richard Spencer says that. A lot of these people will say that white people created civilization. And they'll say it with a straight face. Now, why are they saying that? And I reposted that question on Twitter, and I said, look, I want anybody here, if white people, particularly the white supremacists, if they created civilization, when? Please tell us when they did it. Give us a year. Give us a date. When did they do it? And any troll responses means that you don't have a real answer. And do you know nobody could answer that question? Nobody could answer that question. So what they started to do, they tried to push the goalpost around a little bit. They start talking about, well, white people created Western civilization. Okay, let's go there because you didn't even create that if you want to go there. You didn't really create Western civilization. What's Western civilization? Well, Greek and Rome, the Greeks and the Romans got everything they knew from Africa. They studied in Africa. They studied in Kemet. All the knowledge and everything they got came out of Africa. So what are you talking about? What civilization did white people create? The first form of literature came out of Europe, meaning Greece, came out in around 850 BC. You know, the first form of literature started coming out of Rome and Greece At around 850 BC, the first form of literature was a book called The Iliad and the Odyssey. That was by a writer named Homer. That was 850 BC. But 850 BC, Egypt was in its 25th dynasty by then. They had mastered archaeology, architecture, mathematics, science, medicine, everything. Thousands of years by then. So what are you talking about? And truth be told, the Greeks and the Romans at that time, they were a fixed mulatto race. They weren't like the Germanic tribes that were floating around in the northern parts of Europe. As a matter of fact, they protected themselves from those Germanic tribes and the Vandals and the Visigoths and all that stuff. That's why the Vandals finally went in and sacked Rome. So when is this... I mean, they can't even say that with a straight face. When did white people create civilization? When did they create civilization, even in Europe? Let's say even after the Dark Ages. When Rome was sacked, Europe fell into a Dark Age. Because then they try to push the envelope. They were like, well, the Renaissance era, civilization starting in the 1600s. No. No. Because when Europe was in the Dark Ages, it was African people. It was the Moors who went in there and brought them out of the Dark Ages and brought back science and mathematics and knowledge and astrology and medicine. It was the Moors who did that. Notice anytime people in the dominant white society, anytime they get any type of civilization popping, it's next to black folks. It's black folks. They're assisting them. Hell, even getting America started, it was black folks over here building it. Let's just be real. I'm talking history. This is straight history I'm talking. Yeah, then they'll try to talk about the Phoenicians. Those were black folks back then. Look at all the architecture and the monuments of the Phoenicians and all the Assyrians and all these people back in the day. These were people who would be considered black today. But what are they talking about when they say that they created civilization and they can't give a time or date, any time, even if they push the goalpost around? And I could take it a step further. We can take it a step further. Forget about creating civilization. Ask the serious question, what has the white supremacist really created? Forget about civilization. What has the white supremacists, what have they created that wasn't taken from another group? And that's a serious question. I'm not saying that to be facetious. What have they created that wasn't taken from another group? When you look at all of the learned scholars in European society, they would get stuff from the Hermetic texts. All of these were people who had documents coming from Africa, remnants of documents from the Moors. That's where all of these secret societies and Masonic societies came from. They were hiding all of that Moorish and African knowledge and information. But even inventions, look at certain inventions. Many of the inventions came from other people. That's a very fair question. What have they created that wasn't created by other civilizations? Yeah, like our brother Kaba said, they created the patent office. And that brings us to the reality of when the white supremacists say that they've created civilization. Because understand, the white supremacists, they'll talk and they'll say something, but it'll be a code for something else. It'll be a code for something else. And understand, when they say that white people created civilization, that's a code for white people, the white supremacists, created the concept of global colonization. That's what they really mean. When they say the white supremacists created civilization, they really mean the white supremacists created global colonization. They created the concept of colonizing the entire globe. Black people never thought like that. We didn't want to colonize the globe. And by them colonizing the entire globe, they can take credit for all creations. So that's what they mean by that. We've colonized the whole planet. We own the planet because we've colonized it, so we can take credit for anything anybody creates. We can say it's ours because this damn planet is ours. And we got the muscle and the system and the code to put a hurting on you if you disagree. And that's what that means. That means global colonization. That's what they created. The white supremacists created global colonization because that's been their goal for the longest, going back to Alexander the Great. His goal was to colonize the planet. And he failed when he got down there in Central Africa, or close to Central Africa, tried to get down there, and them sisters put them war elephants on his ass. Them African queens backed his ass right on up. And even Napoleon wanted world domination. Then the Africans over there in Haiti whooped his ass. But that's what they mean. When they say they created civilization, they mean they created global colonization so they can take credit for everything. And that's what they always do. Notice whenever we do something, whenever we create something, they step in and take credit for it. This is why it's very important for them to wipe out our icons. This is why it's very important for them to wipe out black icons. Whenever black folks create something, our icons have to be wiped out. Our Sam Cooks, our Michael Jacksons, all of our other people, they have to be wiped out so that they can step in and say, hey, look what I created. Look at, I'm the king of rock and roll. We're the king of rap. You understand? So we have to look at it from that perspective, and we have to think in terms of global black empowerment. And it starts, first of all, with our different subgroups. This is why it's important for ADOS to get our weight up, because we're thinking global and everybody ain't thinking global like us. So when we get our weight up and get our strength up, then we can take the show on the road. Because, see, we spread ourselves thin trying to be kumbaya and the saviors of all these other groups. So when we get our weight up, we can take the show on the road. This is why it's important for foundational black Americans to start looking in terms of getting our money game together, getting our resources together, weaponizing our votes. You dig? But this is why we all got to get on that global page. When we start talking about ADOS and foundational black Americans looking out for ourselves, other groups, y'all don't be hypocrites and getting offended by that. Had a brother hit me up today talking about, man, you know, y'all shouldn't be talking about reparations just for y'all. The slave ships stopped at all these other places. I said, brother, come on, man. Y'all got to cut that conversation out, because when you guys at your home countries, when you try to get reparations, we don't step into the mix. We don't try to go and get into your business. We respect that. See, people take us for granted because we've been letting people walk on our backs for so long. People expect it, and now they have this asinine, nonsensical sense of entitlement to it now, and they can't even explain it logically because we've let them do it so damn long. We've been that abusive wife, so the abuse is gonna stop. Can't walk on our backs no more. So what we're going to do now, everybody, every different group is going to have to hold their own nuts. ADOS, Foundational Black Americans, we're going to get our weight up. All these other people are going to have to step their game up and get their weight up and start handling things on a local level so we can all get together on a global level and get it popping. But if y'all not handling what you need to handle on a local level, you're going to be dead weight to us. My brothers in Africa, South Africa in particular, I saw a case this week, a brother, he got beat up. He tried to help some white people. Their car broke down out there in South Africa, and a group of white people beat his ass. And he on the news all beat up. Talking about he was scared at first to come forward because of the Jussie Smollett situation. I'm like, man, y'all 80% of the population over there in South Africa. When I see y'all getting y'all ass whooped over there, that just totally confuses me. When I went over there and saw that, I'm over there looking at all the people Y'all outnumber these folks 8-1. And they smacking you around, controlling you, kicking you around, and you already don't have nothing to lose. I can see if y'all were balling out and you would lose your condo, you would lose your car, you would lose your job. You're already living in shanty towns. What do you have to lose? That just baffles me, family. But I still love the South African family, but that just baffles the hell out of me. But I'm over there. I'm over there in the shanty towns, and I'm looking. I'm standing there with the brothers and sisters. You living in a tinfoil shack, and directly across the street, you got these colonizers living in condos. And you sitting over here, y'all peeing in ditches, and I'm like, my goodness, man. I don't know. I don't know. Lose their lives, please. You're already losing your damn life. Y'all outnumber those folks. I don't get it. Hit the like button, family. Anyway, man, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm back in the States, rocking, ready to make it pop off. Don't forget, go to support Tangibles 2020, support the movement, support First Them. Go to firstthem.com, get those First Them shirts, sweaters, t-shirts, all that good stuff. Also, we got a GoFundMe for the Jaguar in Ohio. Well, no, not in Ohio, in Arizona. In Arizona, a white woman jumped over a barrier at a zoo so she could take a selfie with a damn jaguar, and the jaguar mauled her ass. She survived. She jumped over a barrier to take a selfie. She wanted to get closer to a black jaguar, and the black jaguar did what black jaguars do, snatched the plug out her ass, and she's acting like a victim. So we have a GoFundMe for the jaguar. Go to GoFundMe, type in Black Jaguars Matter. You guys can make a donation. We're raising money for jaguar awareness. Black Jaguars Matter. We're trying to raise awareness so that folks won't mess with those beautiful animals. You got to respect those animals. And the reason we're doing that, because when the little black kid in Ohio at the zoo, he fell in that cage with Harimbi. They had to shoot Harimbi, and people in the dominant society were mad that they saved the little boy's life and killed Harimbi. So they had a bunch of GoFundMe pages for Harimbi. They were disparaging the black child and his family, talking about his dad had a jail record and his dad wasn't even at the damn zoo. So they really drug them through the mud, and they had a bunch of GoFundMe pages for Harimbi. So we have a GoFundMe for the leopard, for the jaguar. We're going to try to raise money. We're going to get some meat for the jaguar, because he probably has that mayonnaise taste in his mouth and the jaguar is probably confused. So we're going to send some good, decent meat to the jaguar, some chitlins, maybe some catfish nuggets, something to get that taste out of his mouth. But you can go to the GoFundMe page again, Black Jaguars Matter on GoFundMe, and make your contribution, guys. Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. I'm gonna holla. Y'all have a good one, family.